So, starting at verse 8 of chapter 14. In Lystra there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul and as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priests of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and reeds to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are not only men, humans like you. Sorry, we too are only men, humans like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered round him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe.
A word of prayer for our web listeners as such. Lord, may your word be a living word to us. We pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, our minds, and our ears, Lord, to hear, to understand, and to see change as a result. We pray for this, for us here in New Life, and for those who listen. May the Spirit of God be upon us all, and all God's people said. Our theme this morning is fickleness. I have never, ever, ever spoken on fickleness. How many of you have heard a sermon on fickleness? It's a first. And before you all start falling down and says the gods have come down, before that happens, I want to say this. This is an acknowledgement. First of all, our text in our team this morning has been given to me by one of our web listeners. So the theme of fickleness has been given to me, and the actual text that we have just read. The web listener has also given me permission to share this insight with you and with our other web listeners, to which we say, may her tribe increase. So the theme, fickleness, and the actual scripture was given to me by a web listener. Now I had to develop this myself. So, but she too is a woman of scripture, a Bible teacher actually, among many other things, and she has taught on this. And she must have perceived that the standard of my sermons must have been dropping. So out of sheer sympathy, she gave me this. But I had to develop it myself. So what you get after this is my insight for what it's worth. Is that okay? You will need your Bibles open, because I've done it a different way. And so we want to begin then with the theme of fickleness. And you'll see that developing as we go through the different scriptures. So we begin really at verses 8 to 10. And as we look at this, and I want you to look at the scriptures, this is the ideal conditions to be a perfect, or to be an effective preacher. It doesn't get any better than this, because when you look at the verses 8 to 10, which Martin has just read for us, you see many things. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. So everyone knew this. This wasn't a guy who kind of stumbled over coming home from a pub and kind of had a, you know, a dodgy ankle. This guy just never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul looked directly at him and saw he had faith to be healed and called out, "Stand on your feet." And at that, the man jumped up and began to walk. If there's ever an ideal condition for a preacher to be effective, this is the place. Would you agree? Let me point three things to you that's worth doing it. First of all, the visible healing power of God is in action. Paul saw that the man had faith to be healed and commanded him to stand up. And the man stood up. What most preachers, myself included, wouldn't give to have that kind of power. And that was what was going on here in Lystra. So the visible power of God in action. Second thing is, when that is in action and you see a miracle right in front of you, it gives, well, undeniable credibility to the preacher's word. Would you agree? What this man is saying is beginning to make a difference, because look at this fella. He tells your man, stand up, and your man has never stood up in his life. And now he's walking. Undeniable credibility to the preacher's word. Third thing I see in it is, what a way to get and keep people's attention. Paul was speaking. Obviously, he was preaching the gospel. In the middle of it, he commanded this man to stand up and walk. And the man did. So you have the visible healing power of God in action, gives undeniable credibility to the preacher's word. No one can deny that. And it's a way of getting people's attention and keep it. You couldn't get a better start if you wanted to. That is as good as it gets. Would you agree? God shows up and does a miracle right in the middle of a sermon. If God did a miracle right in the middle of a sermon this morning, this place would be full next Sunday morning. There'd be less beating down the door. So that's the first thing. The last thing that is on anyone's mind at this stage is fickleness. Would you agree? It hasn't even entered it. And if that wasn't as good as it gets, we move on. Because in verse 11, we have what is described here as this, what most preachers and communicators would give anything for. And verse 11 begins, when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." At this stage, you have what we would call today, you have the audience eating out of your hand. It's no longer just the words of a man. It is now the power of God that is visible. Would you agree? Not alone that, you also have this. You have gained their approval and their acceptance, because they're saying, look, the gods have come down to us in human form. One of the things you're doing, public speaking or whatever you're doing in life, is to try and gain a certain amount of credibility, approval, and acceptance. It's hard fought and it's not easily done. But when you have people eating out of your hand, it is all your dreams come true. Whether you're a musician, a singer, a poet, an author, or a preacher. That you have the connection and you are on top form, top of your game. Still no mention of fickleness, because it's not even there yet. So you've gained their approval and their acceptance. Third thing I see in verse 11 is, you have won over public opinion. You're really riding on the crest of a wave. Would you believe that? As they say, you know, they shout in Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." You are just at the top of your game. In the opinion polls, you're up at the very top. There's no, you can't go any higher. And there's still no sign of fickleness. But we know, looking at it, it is only behind the corner, so to speak. But at the moment, when you're riding on the crest of the wave, you have public opinion is with you, you have their approval, you have their acceptance. Actually, you have them eating out of your hand. It is what most preachers would give anything for. And it is what Paul and Barnabas did encounter in Lystra. Many, many people pray for that all the time. Make us effective communicators. Let the power of the Spirit of God be on us and upon us, and let people see. Correct? This is what we have. Right in front of us. Moving on. Verses 12 to 13. And we'll read it right. Now you have moved away from actually acceptance, appreciation, and approval. Because when you read verses 12 on, Barnabas they call Zeus, and Paul they call Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Uz, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and reeds to the city gates, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. Now you're gone away above approval. You're gone away above acceptable and appreciation. You're at another level altogether. You have now reached the stage in the public mindset where people want to worship the ground you walk on. That's what's happening here, isn't it? The whole place. As far as they're concerned, this is the gods coming down in human form, performing the miracle, and the lads want to worship. Hence the version of, they want to literally worship the ground you walk on. You see it there? I'm not making it up. It's right in front of us in those verses. Paul, in this case Barnabas and Paul, have what we would call today celebrity status. Would you agree? Because I said, Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas they call Zeus, and Paul they call Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. So they had celebrity status. That is success like very few people get or can even imagine. That's what it looked like in the preacher's world. Crowd eating out of your hand, listening to every word. You have their approval, you have their acceptance. They are literally willing and waiting to worship the ground you walk on. What can go wrong with that? Nothing. You're up and up and up. Heaven approves, earth approves. It doesn't get any better. And yet, fickleness is just around the corner. But many, many people in life live life for that. For acceptance, appreciation, approval. Many people live life and say, when I am successful and people and I have people's opinion and I have, they admire me, some may even worship me. It hasn't happened to me yet, I have to confess, but we're still trying to get approval. We have a long ways to go. But you know what I'm saying? People strive for that and say, that thing, I want to have recognition, I want to have approval, I want to have success. And if celebrity status goes with it, so be it. The lads had it. So there's hype, you see that? They're shouting the language. The gods have come down. And the priest is in this. So you have hype. You have hysteria. You see that? The people saw Paul, and they shouted in the Lystrian language, the gods have come down to us in human form. So there's hype, there's hysteria, and even with the priest giving way to sacrifice, you have at the stage of where you're now at frenzy. Now, this is the kind of thing you associate maybe with a rock concert or, you know, a well-advertised match or something. But you don't understand that. We know what hype looks like. We know when people are in, and we know what hysteria looks like. And frenzy. It's quite amazing, isn't it? But that's what it's like. And so that's what the apostles are now encountering. And that is considered the epitome of success in the Christian world, isn't it? Gather a large crowd, gain their attention, have their approval, and if you have a power to do a miracle, put it in there. You're now on the very top of your game. Heaven approves, earth approves, you have made it. And it looks that way. And then we reach verses 14 to 18. And what you have now, which is quite interesting, is you have Paul and Barnabas trying to restrain this hype, hysteria, and frenzy. How do we know that? Because when you look at the verses, you see, when the crowd are ready to offer sacrifices and worship, then Paul and Barnabas said, but when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and they rushed out into the crowd shouting, men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not let himself without testimony. He has shown his kindness by giving you rain from heaven, crops in their seasons, he provided you with plenty of food, and filled your hearts with joy. Now look at the last verse there, verse 18. Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. So much hype, so much hysteria, so much frenzy, the apostles trying to bring a level of reason into it, because they are not gods, and they don't want the lads worshipping them, and this idolatry thing. So the lads are trying to put a lid on it. There are many preachers said, I wouldn't mind having that problem. But that's where things are at. The last thing anyone is expecting is verse 19. The very last thing you'd expect to happen in this situation is this. Verse 19. Then, some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. What you're dealing with now is fickleness. Then some Jews from Antioch and Iconium came and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. As you look at that verse, and as we look at the preceding verses beforehand, you ask the question that I would ask. How can people change so quickly, going from one extreme to another? One minute, they're calling saying, these are the gods that have come down from heaven. And the place is in uproar in terms of hype, hysteria, and frenzy, and they're ready to worship. And then the thing just changes. And now they have physically taken Paul out and they're stoning him to death. And this is what we're dealing with right here in front of us. So how can people change so quickly, going from one extreme to the other? That's a fair question to ask in that context, isn't it? One minute, they want to worship you. The next minute, they are stoning you to death. If we learned anything so far, listen to this, success can be overrated in any situation. Having people with you and for you, and almost literally worshipping the ground you're walking on, you are actually quite in a very dangerous place. Only you don't necessarily see it or recognize it, because it can turn. So 1 minute they want to worship you, the next minute they are stoning you to death. What we're dealing with here is the theme that was given to me. We're dealing with the fickleness of man. That is what we're dealing with here, the fickleness of man. It's right in front of us. Here we have the ever-present fickleness of man. It wasn't just back there and then. It is with us even this day. That's why it's ever-present fickleness of man. And yet, we have never heard a sermon on it. And we live with that fickleness every day. It's ever-present. And it comes at us sideways, unexpected, from the most unexpected sources, in the most unexpected ways, and many of us are caught by it. Would you agree? And though we know man is fickle, and we're aware of it in one sense, when it does happen to us, it has a way of gutting us and sometimes even devastating us. Doesn't it? How can they change? There was so much for me, and now they're completely against me. What has gone wrong? How many times have you asked that question? One day you are friends with people, a week later they're pulling back from you and they're getting distant. You're trying to figure out, what did I do wrong? What did I say? You're climbing high in your career, everything is going fine, and then somebody who against you sticks a knife in and starts damaging your reputation of where you're all the ways up, and next thing you're coming all the ways down. And those who were for you one day are now your enemies. The ever-present fickleness of man. That's what we have here. One day they call you God, the next day they stone you. We don't expect people to do that. Our perception of human nature is, if people are for you, they're for you. People can be for you today, and they can be against you tomorrow, and they can be the very same people. Part of the problem we have in life, of the sin that we all have, and we're all part of the fickleness, to be honest with you. We are part in sometimes in giving it, and we're also part in receiving it. It's the changeable, and we're amazed. How can people change so quick? They change because the very nature of fickleness of man is ever present, and the change can just happen like that. And when it happens, for the most part, we're not ready for it, and we're not prepared. And it can take us months, years to come from it. Would you agree? But the question is, how do we deal with this ever-present fickleness of man? What are we to do with it? Because it's there. We see it, you know, you see it in the sporting world, you know. A soccer manager gets his team to the Premier League and wins. 2 years later, they're down and your man's head has been called for. Actually, you know, even get a bad start to the next season, they're looking for his head. There's fickleness. You see it in the A-list in Hollywood. It's all got to do with box office receipts. He was number one. He's slipping back down to number three. Go on to number 10. You don't hear about him anymore. Fickleness. In the workplace, it often is in high performance sense, you're only as good as your last review. If your next review is not as good, you know, they're saying you're slipping. Something needs to get done here. So how do we deal with this ever-present fickleness of man? The answer to that is right in front of us, in those scriptures. It took me an awful long time to figure it out, and it was only the mercy of God that showed me. But as you look at those scriptures, can you figure out this morning the solution to how you deal with the ever-present fickleness of man from those verses that we've just read? Because the solution lies in there. Come back next week, and when I'm less fickle, I'm entering my fickle stage. The answer lies, and this was given to me as well, not by the person, but shall we say, the Lord kind of prompted me along, and I wouldn't have seen it as clear, and I think it's, so I take no credit for it, but here's the answer to it. Never let us get lifted up by praise, or too downcast by insults and disrespect. How do you deal with the ever-present fickleness of man? Never let us get lifted up by praise or too downcast by insults and disrespect. And you're saying now, where is that in there? Is that what you're saying to me? Where is that in there? Let me show you. First of all, never let us get lifted up by praise. When the lads wanted to worship Paul and Barnabas, and they're saying, the gods have come down on us, right? Look what the lads did. But when Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out in the street shouting, friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Paul and Barnabas didn't get drawn into the praise thing. I am wonderful. I am amazing. Your praise means so much to me. They didn't buy it. In actual fact, what they were doing was diffusing it. Never let us get lifted up by praise. I'm not saying it's not a compliment here and there. Doesn't go astray, but you're unseen. By the praise of men, it is by its very nature a snare. And so many, many people live for the praise of men. But man is fickle. And there lies the danger. If you're living and for his praise, then you're going to be in trouble. So never let us get lifted up by praise. Now look at the next verse. They stoned Paul, this is verse 19, and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. No, that's fickleness. No, if you were the Apostle Paul, and you were Barnabas, and you had done exactly what Jesus had asked you to do, the Lord showed up in power and healed this man. And the net result is, 1 minute they're calling you down as gods, you're calming down the crowd, you've done the right thing. No, they have stoned you, and they have left you for dead. How many people would throw in the towel and say, that's it? God, I'm not going another inch. People are too fickle. It is too dangerous. I survived it by the skin of my teeth. I'm not going back anymore. I say all of that because look at verse 20. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. How do you overcome the fickleness of man so you're not devastated and you're not gutted? Well, if the first part is never let us get lifted up by praise, then the other half of it is simply this, not to get too downcast by people's insults and disrespect. It's all got to do with human reaction from within. If you're not lifted up by their praise, then there's no need to get downcast either by their insults or disrespect. Because that's what you see Paul and Barnabas doing. How did they get up and walk out of that place? Because they weren't there for the praise of the people, first of all. And they weren't so downcast by their insults and disrespect that they threw in the towel, were they? So those men overcame the fickleness of man that day by not letting the praise go to their heads or not letting the insults and the disrespect destroy them. Because that's what fickleness can do. Put it all together for your careful consideration. First of all, this passage is a reminder of the ever-present fickleness of man. It is there today, and man with all his progress, and this is where man goes wrong, man thinks that man is getting better. We might be getting more sophisticated in our world, and we have more gadgets, and we can do things easier than maybe our predecessors. But we are no better off today, and we haven't any better handle on fickleness, no more than the generations beforehand. If anything, it could be argued we're even getting more fickle. So 2,000 years later has taught us nothing. We're still dealing with fickleness, and it's still destroying people. So this passage is a reminder of that. Definition of fickleness is one day they call you God, the next day they stone you. You've got to factor that in. People can change like that. Three, the more things change, the more they remain the same. In this case, the more they stay the same. Don't buy into the thing because we are more sophisticated, we are less fickle, we are not. You see fickleness, you see it all over the place. You see it in politics, you see it in public life. So the more things change, the more they stay the same. Next thing I want to show you is, therefore the way to get over this is never let us get lifted up by praise of men or too downcast by their insults and disrespect. Because if you're lifted up by their approval and their appreciation, it's going to flatten you when it goes the other way. You will be absolutely gutted. And anyone that has experienced fickleness of man that has touched your heart, you know what it does. It guts you. And it can take an awful lot of time to give yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. And the last thing, man's opinion is fickle. I'm talking about man here on earth, all of us. And for the most part, it's actually worthless. The only opinion that really matters at the end of the day is the Lord's. Because there is no fickleness in him. So man's opinion is fickleness, is fickle and worthless. If this is going to be any use to us, we've got to learn. I've had people, I remember one time at my 40th birthday, admittedly, I had a whole gang of people there. That was back in the day when I had big birthday parties. And the goodwill towards me was quite amazing. They weren't quite going to call me down there. I was God, but I was, you know, only one more level up the ladder. 9 months later, most of those had left me. And I don't say that badly about it. I'm just saying that's the fickleness. Gone. I repeated the thing for my 50th birthday. Well, I got 9 months before the first crowd left. I only got 6 months out of the 50th. Because a whole gang of people left again. And it's all got to do with how you're moving out with God and the pressure and all kinds of yokes and all kinds of things happening. I'm not saying I was right in everything. I'm sure I wasn't. But nevertheless, I learned a valuable lesson that people can be with you today. I'm very grateful for who I have left, of course. But people can change very quickly. So I had to learn that man's opinion is fickle and worthless. To who is the Lord speaking to this morning? Because this message was given to me to give to us. The theme of fickleness, admittedly I developed it. But it was given to us. I would never have got that out of that passage. How many of us would have read that passage this morning and say, I have figured out fickleness? None of us. And so I'm so grateful to the Lord for showing me. Let us not get carried away by people's praise. And let us not let them be downcasted, disheartened, and discouraged by their insults and disrespect. Let's keep a level head. And that way we can indeed live through, walk our way through, and then somewhat defeat this fickleness of man, of where it doesn't destroy us. Either by pride on one side, or can be completely gutted and utterly disillusioned and demotivated by the other. Because fickleness is there, it's there, it was there on the way in, it will be there on the way out, and you will encounter it in the workplace, in the home place at times, even in church. It's ever present. What a prayer. And I'm finished. Lord, we do pray. We do thank you for this team, Lord, that we deal with. We see it. It's a present reality. Lord, at times we have let people's approval and their opinion really mattered to us to the point of where, Lord, it was not wise. Lord, the praise of man can be short-lived. Lord, we have experienced it. We've seen it, Lord. So help us, Lord, not to be lifted up by the praise of man. We pray equally, Lord, that when the thing goes pear-shaped and not alone do we don't have that acceptance, we don't have that approval, Lord, we have this disapproval. And when there's insults and there's rejection, and Lord, there can even be worse than that. We don't get to the point of where we are gutted, to where we're so demotivated, we'll not do another blessed thing. Lord, we close down shop, close down heart, and say, never again will I allow that to touch my heart. Help us, Lord, from the both extremes. Help us, Lord, we pray, to deal with the fickleness of others, but, Lord, to also deal with our own. Lord, if we're honest, we too have been fickle, and others have suffered as a result of our fickleness at times. And Lord, we want to acknowledge we too have suffered as a result of other people's fickleness. We thank you this day for this reminder that fickleness is ever present on this earth. We also thank you for the advice that you have given to us, and so that we're not devastated by it. And all God's people said,